Hopefully you're not in dire straits today, but if you are, Karen Bobka's here to help you with your personal finances. That's what the first hour is dedicated to. She's a financial advisor with Hobben Assets. She writes her weekly column for The National on your side, and she also has her blog Financial UAE. Karen Bobka, hello, welcome.
Good morning.
Good to see you here alongside Dubai Today producer Joe McKibben. Hello to you.
Good morning.
Now, you've been very creative. Later on, we're going to be exploring, I don't know where you've been going in your mind, Karen Bobka. It is the festive season.
It's a bit of the silly season, isn't it?
It is a bit of the silly
season. It's getting to me.
And the first part of this hour is going to be quite serious, so it's nice to lighten it up later on. With the 12 days of Christmas, according to Karen Bobka, the cost of recreating it here in the UAE.
Yes, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? It is the slightly the silly season, and we do talk about a lot of sensible things, so why not have a bit of fun? And I did have a lot of chuckles to myself when I was writing it and finding out the figures.
Well, it's very creative, and we'll be finding out how much it costs to have 10 Lords a Leaping here in the UAE. If you're familiar with the 12 days of Christmas, we'll be sharing some music with you throughout the hour as well. So how's it going in the McKibben household, Joe, when it comes to planning this festive season?
Well, it's a busy time of year, and quite frankly, financial issues get set aside. It's too busy to worry about money, think about money. But actually, seriously, I'm actually quite careful, being quite frugal.
Yeah, prudent, good. Know. For many, of course, whatever your financial situation might be, when it's something like this, it's a holiday season, it's easy to sort of bury your head a little bit because you don't want to miss out on the fun. You also don't want your family, or you want to keep face, save face with everybody. Well, we're talking about debt here, and you might be struggling and thinking, what am I going to do? I need to keep going, I need to provide through the festive season, but I might be struggling. And that idea of putting it to one side and hoping that it'll just go away, deal with it in January.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, don't they? Because they are, you know, completely tied up with the idea of what's going on for Christmas and New Year. But the problems don't go away. And I think if you keep in mind where you are financially, you can actually have a better Christmas because you haven't got those money worries hanging over your head.
Well, you've got some planning tips for us here. Tips on reducing spending and better budgeting. This is any day of the year.
This applies year round. You can start this at any time. And I would say that a lot of people do take time off over Christmas and the New Year. So there's some quieter days there between the parties. So it's probably not a bad time to do a bit of housekeeping. If you've got the odd quiet afternoon, perhaps the weather might be a little bit lousy, you don't fancy going out, to actually do some sensible planning and get yourself ready for the year ahead.
All right. Now, Joe, you've been looking at some of the facts about and around and about when it comes to managing our finances.
Well, there's this recent research from the Money Advice Trust that was just recently published on the 5th of December in the UK. Now, I know this relates to UK figures with millions of people really surveyed about this, and 5 million adults in the UK regularly worry or feel stressed about money and debt as Christmas approaches. And some 3 million of these experience a negative impact on their enjoyment of the holiday as a result, which is exactly what you were saying, Karen. Yeah. Actually, if you can, it's worth finding the time so that you're not going to have that negative impact and worrying about, you know, the festive season.
And there is so much pressure to spend. It's become very, very much a commercial festival, and everywhere you'll see, you know, buying guides, what you should be buying, etc. Well, you don't have to fall for all of that to have a good time. You can go back to basics. Obviously, last month we did talk about spending over Christmas, and that article is still on my site to go through if people haven't done all their shopping and their planning thus far.
Along with tips on reducing spending and better budgeting, financial planning in the UAE, that's the blog, that's the site, with Karen Bobka. So when we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the tips and advice when it comes to calculating your household income, managing your finances, knowing where maybe you can make a few reductions, possibly save a bit of money. Now, Karen and Joe, you've got a stat there, Joe. What is it? 92%
of people feel under pressure to spend money at Christmas.
And what are we spending it on?
Well, surprisingly, it's not gifts, it's food, drink and decorations.
Wow. It is. So you're feeling the pressure. What do we do now? Tips on reducing spending and better budgeting with Karen Bobka. It's on her blog post today. This is an all-round good sort of guide, if you like, for any time of the year.
Yeah, and I've written this really just to give some reminders and pointers, because people sometimes say to me, I really don't know where to start on doing a budget. And as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, what I might actually do is put together some sort of PDF that people can download that actually allows them to list all these things to make it a little bit easier. So that'll give me a few days, and I'll put that up on my site as well, so people have got access to that. But it's just the steps that you need to go through to get yourself started.
And there is an app that I looked at earlier, and I downloaded it, and it's called Mint Money Manager. Mm-hmm. Which seems hugely popular, and really it's just very useful again at breaking down your daily, monthly, weekly expenditure. But also you can do it on a traditional spreadsheet.
You can do it however you want. It's what works for you as an individual. I know a lot of people like to have things on their phone, so there's quite a few of them out. I don't use them, so I've not found, actually looked for them or checked them myself, but I'm told there are some good ones out there. It's just finding one that works for you, and the thing is actually doing it, because you do have to do these things probably for a few months to get a real handle on what you're spending.
I think that's right, isn't it? And also you forget what you have, in the sense that when you start breaking down everything, all that you spend, all your income, then you start to look at things like, you might not have considered like what an interest rate is on a card, or, you know, really it's about breaking every single aspect of your financial life down.
It is, and you've got to be honest with yourself, because it's too easy. You've got cash in your purse, your wallet, and you go out and you just pop into the store and you buy some bread and milk and there's that, and then obviously a few other items when you're in there, and you probably don't realise quite how much you spend over the month, because it's easy just to kind of be handing over 50 dirham notes for this, that and the other.
All right, so when I'm looking here, to start with, calculate the total household income. And that includes everything per month, but over the year. So if you get a bonus or...
Yes. Now, most bonuses are not guaranteed, so I don't think you should be using that in your monthly calculations. Put that to one side, unless you have that strange situation that the bonus is guaranteed, which is kind of doesn't quite make sense to my head anyway. The true calculation of what's coming in, I have said after tax, because there are a few people here, Americans particularly, who do have some tax liabilities. So bear that in mind.
It's a good point, isn't it? We say tax-free in the UAE, but people are still paying, some people are paying taxes back in their home country.
They are indeed, and it depends how long you're here. There's different scenarios on that. And then it's really a case of working out what you're paying out. And obviously here, we're not paying things monthly necessarily. Most of us don't pay our rent on a monthly basis. So you've got to break that down into what you are paying each month. And then obviously there's the loans, the credit cards, the big ticket things like that, the food. So you really have to keep a note of all your receipts and add them up.
Things like, you know, gym memberships, anything that you're spending that's going out of, you know, on direct debit maybe, that you sort of forget. Do you contribute to a charity overseas? I still do, for a dog charity in the UK. I've been living here for 9 years, but there you go. I don't mind. I like to do it, but at least I'm aware that's going out of my account.
Exactly.
I've got one that's going out of my account at the moment that I've really got to cancel, which is for Audible books. And I signed up and I was like, this is great. I've now got about 8 credits, and I've realised that every time I listen to an Audible book, it sends me to sleep. So I've actually just got to stop. I've just got to cancel my subscription now, because I keep seeing, I don't know, it's about £7 a month. But ultimately, I just think this is an utter waste of money because I'm not using them.
So you basically paid for a sleep app, haven't you?
Well, that's money well spent.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I might borrow some off you. There you go. And it's a good point, isn't it? Those things that you forget about. And also, if you go back through your statements, and now we are electronic, do you go through your statements every month and just double check what's going out of your account, and not only your account here in the UAE, but accounts in home country? Because sometimes there is that little thing, it might only be a small amount that's going out every single month. What is it? Do you know what it is? Check.
Well, it's sometimes extra hard to know what it is here as well, because the store that you go into and that you're paying money to can be noted as something entirely different on your statement. So you can look back and go, I have no idea what that actually is. So that's why you need to keep the receipts and cross-reference, just so you know where you are.
What do you think is the thing that you may be, now I was going to say waste money on every week or every month, but it's something that maybe, you know what, you could do without. And I mean the little stuff, the big stuff, you know, like the cup of coffee every day. What is it for you that actually, when you think about it and start breaking down everything that you spend per week, per month, what could you actually curb back on, I wonder?
Do you know, I reckon for a lot of people it is actually food, because either they're shopping at the expensive stores, or there is a phenomenal amount of wastage. Now, we know that a lot of things that we purchase here, because of the way that they're stored before we take them home, they don't have a very long shelf life. So, and I appreciate that it's difficult if you're working full time to shop several times a week, but I can virtually guarantee that everyone is chucking out some things in their fridge. So it's the shopping smart. You can save money on that.
Mm. And if your latte at 15 dirhams a day, if you save that over the year, that's 5,475 dirhams.
That's a flight to a very exciting place.
I'm going to do that next year. I'm going to set myself a New Year's resolution, Suzanne. Yeah.
Bring your own coffee in.
Well, and I'll put the money in a jar.
Excellent. Yeah,
it
good
works.
Idea.
Get your own travel mug. Here's mine. Make your coffee at home. Take it with you. You know, okay, so you may have to lay out for a cafe chair. It doesn't necessarily have to be a really fancy machine. But you can save by doing that. And it's just convenient sometimes.
The other things like, you know, life insurance, those things that we have going out every month. Every now and again, and I don't know what you think about this, it's your business really, Karen, but to just review and renew, as in, could you get a better deal? Is it the best option for you? Are you just continually rolling over year on, year in, year out?
Yeah, have your circumstances changed? And that should be part of your annual review with your advisor to go through all those things to make sure you've got the right things in place. In most cases, you do need to keep those going. But yes, yeah, certainly that they should be reviewed. Now, for me, top of the list of wasted money is going to be interest on credit cards. That's a lot of money people end up spending. And I think it would really scare people if they worked out how much they're spending. If they're just simply, especially if they're just paying the minimum payment, because that interest really adds up. And some of the interest rates are horrendous here.
Mm. Are you overpaying? Are you, how many cards have you got? On average, when you see people, Karen, how many credit cards does a single person, an individual have?
Several.
Really?
Several. Many people have quite a few because it's easy to buy into that. Oh, if you get this card, you get this sort of benefit. You get discounts at restaurants, you get cinema access, etc. And then it's easy to start using. So it's one thing to have them, though bear in mind that quite often there is an annual fee. So that's a bit of a waste. Are you really getting value for money from all of those? Perhaps better to have one, maybe two if necessary, and know what they're for and get them paid off, because the interest, it's a total waste of your money. Anything that you buy that you think is a bargain or at a discount, you're losing that in the interest that you're paying.
How many people do you see that are living off their credit cards?
I come across far too many. And then the awful thing, and this is something that we've covered in the debt panel of the National Lot, is people take out a credit card, build it up to the maximum, start struggling with that, and then go, oh, I'll have one of these consolidation loans. So they're going to get a loan at a lower interest rate. So, okay, that costs them a bit less, but they're committed to that for several years. But the big mistake then is to keep the cards and start spending again. And it's this vicious cycle of building up more and more debt. And you get to a certain point and it's very, very hard to get out of that.
So what's your circumstance and how many credit cards have you got? And bank loans, how many people take out a loan for Christmas, for the festive season to get through spending?
I don't know the numbers, but I suspect that there's quite a few that actually do that.
We're going to be taking a look at this in more detail. 4001 is the text number to ask any questions of Karen today on any issues to do with your finances. We're going to look a bit more into reducing spending and better budgeting according to Karen's blog post today, and also getting into the 12 days of Christmas and the cost of recreating it in the UAE. Kim texted in to say, my husband's got four credit cards and I'm forever nagging him to reduce it down to maybe two. We've got two kids, but it worries me. Should she be worried, Karen?
If they're being used and there's money being built up on them, yeah, then I would be slightly concerned. It's harder. The more you have, the harder it is to keep track of them. And I think two is adequate for most people.
Right. And asking why you need four, what are you using them for, I suppose?
Exactly. I mean, okay, if you haven't got an annual fee on them, you don't necessarily have to cancel them, but don't carry them around. Put them away somewhere and don't use them, because it's far too easy to just pull a card out of your wallet and spend it, because it doesn't feel like real real money.
Now, Karen's here to take questions on any issues you're facing with your personal finances. Joe, we had a call in the break.
Yeah, I've just been, it's an observation really, but from somebody, one of you who's been living here for 20 years and has had a bank account with the same bank, and really commenting on the bank loyalty, that as soon as there's one payment that's a bit late, he received many phone calls daily basis from the bank, and they were immediately quite aggressive, very quickly taking a tone of, you know, we're going to look at travel bans, we're going to take you to the central bank, and just the sense of customer loyalty was really disappointing.
Yeah, there's a lot of that goes on. Now, there's two sides to this. That there are a lot of people here who miss payments and don't communicate with banks and then just, you know, end up disappearing. And the banks are carrying a lot of bad debt. So there's concern there that someone's going to do that. However, on a first payment, there could be a very good reason. And I think the first sort of the call should be, is there a problem? How can we help you with this? And if someone says, look, I've got an issue, I'm going to pay it a couple of weeks late, I really would prefer the banks to say, OK, that's OK, keep communicating with us. And then they keep their customer on side, and you will actually prevent more issues that way.
But it's quite difficult communicating with banks in this part of the world. I do find that when you phone up banks here, you're going through quite a lengthy process to get through to the people you need to speak to. And it's incredibly frustrating.
Go to the bank, pop in. I mean, yeah. I know what you mean.
It's just there's barriers.
Yes.
It's something that really needs to be worked on.
Yeah, the customer service side of it. I think it's that idea that it's not always the case that if there is a late payment, it's because you haven't got any money. There are, you know, whether you've changing jobs and there's a delay on the salary or there's something happening. Now, of course, you still have a contract and a duty to pay on time. So you're absolutely right. You know, they can't let it go, but maybe a bit more. So if you've got 20 years of loyalty and you know what's in the bank account and you can see that customer's saving, spending pattern, it's not to assume the worst. If there's a delay, it's more like you say, is there a problem? A softly approach, but communicate
to start with, because otherwise you do just end up alienating people and you end up with that unfortunate them and us situation and people forgetting that you know, if someone misses a lot of payments, there's a knock-on effect to a bank as well, that they get more aggressive with other people because they're really concerned about their debt position as well. Again, and I've said this to many banks, there needs to be a little more training. And now I'm not sure what pressure is put on the people in these departments to chase up, but I think if they're at least talking and there's a note that it's going to be paid and it's a week or two late, that really shouldn't be the major issue that sometimes is made to be here.
That word loyalty, though, can go a long way, can't it? It's something to work on, I think. Fraser's texting, is there a statute of limitation on a full and final statement of a pension plan redemption? What's he talking about, Karen?
I am guessing that he is talking about transferring from one pension scheme to another. If that's what it is, and we're talking about the UK pension, it's an occupational scheme, there is generally a three-month window, 90 days, during which that figure is valid. And then the figures have to be recalculated at a cost, because you get one recalculation each year. I'm assuming that's what that actually is. If it's something else, then you might want to contact me separately and I'll answer that.
Now, Joe caught her eye in the National. You've got your column. You've also got the National's got the debt panel, so there's a few of you contributing to that regularly, and it brought to light, and I thought, you know what, I don't think we've ever talked to you about what we call loan sharks. And there was a story in the National, somebody's circumstances, we don't have to go into masses of detail about that personal particular story, but it does raise the fact that people are turning to different places to get their money, if you like, if you will.
And this story of a Filipina housemaid saw no way out, and she's amassed a 12,000 dirham debt to two loan sharks and is barely managing to pay the 15% interest charge each month, which was the equivalent of an annual rate of 180%. And she said, I've already been paying for nearly a year, says the mother of three who's lived in the UAE for 7 years. I just need to do something. Otherwise, even if I work for up to 10 years, I won't be able to pay it off because it will keep going up.
Interest rates like that, in my view, are criminal. I mean, that is completely and utterly taking advantage of people, and I don't think that should be legal. Now, without knowing the exact details on the lender and how that's set up, I'm not sure of the legalities of that particular situation. But that is purely and simply taking advantage of people, and it's never necessary. So if anyone has issues, you need to be very careful where you're borrowing your money from. If it's a proper bank here, then you have got recourse with the central bank if something goes wrong there. you just need to think twice where you're borrowing it from, because you're just getting yourself into deeper and deeper in debt.
What recourse would you have with the central bank?
Well, there's an issue in terms of interest rates and how people pursue you. And now, I don't know whether that is a proper lender or some, in an organisation that is perhaps a little bit shady, because I suspect there's quite a few of those out there as well. So really stick with the banks who aren't going to be charging you interest rates like that. They simply don't, because there are rules as to how much they can charge.
And the idea that someone is feeling that I need to get this money and I'm going to take the money from that person and that'll buy me a bit more time whilst hopefully things, circumstances are going to change, and you're getting yourself deeper and deeper into difficulty.
And they never do. The situations don't change. Money doesn't appear out of nowhere for situations like that. It simply doesn't. So you have to address a debt issue as soon as possible and not just assume that it will get better, because it doesn't.
And that definition of the loan shark is based on somebody taking advantage of someone in a situation, charging high interest rates, which, I mean, what is it? Well, how do we define that loan shark term?
Well, it's someone who's probably on the fringes of legality, if they are even legal doing that. It's unethical and it's immoral.
There you go. Yeah, it's a really precarious place out there when it comes to borrowing if you're not relying on reputable banks. And understanding that, I suppose, maybe people don't even realise that. They think there's a company name, they think they're offering to lend me money, they must be legal and reputable. That's not necessarily the case.
No, and you can check that out.
Check it
out. Any reputable lender will be registered and you can follow through.
Okay, well, keep your messages coming in on 4001, your questions for Karen Bobka. Check out Tips on Reducing Spending and Better Budgeting online with Financial UAE. That's Karen's blog. We've posted that all up on our social media today as well via the Dubai Today blog post. There's a lot more there as well for you to work through, where you might be wasting money, spending money, where you could avoid it, like getting fined. I mean, there's a lot of fines happening at the moment, so beware, be aware, and try and avoid those hefty fines. And impulse buying as well was one of the points that Karen wanted to get into, so check it out for yourself. Meanwhile, we're moving into something a little different. So the 12 days of Christmas, according to Karen Bobka, the cost of recreating it in the UAE.
Oh, yes, this was fun. This was probably the daftest thing I've ever written, but it did make me laugh in doing it. Now, we'll get to the cost shortly, but you need to love someone to be wanting to do this and to have the time on your hands to do it. But it's possible. Now, certainly, I've seen in various newspapers in other countries the cost of doing this, but I've not seen it done here. And obviously, things are a little different here as well, aren't they?
Well, they are indeed. Now, this is the song. It's a traditional song at this time of year. It's the things that happen when we think of a traditional Christmas. So what will it cost us, Karen? Shall we start at number 12 with the drummers drumming?
Yes, 12 drummers drummers. Well, I've said that you're probably going to annoy your neighbours a heck of a lot if you've got drummers going on in your house. So my solution to this was to go and join Dubai Drums. And they do these full moon drumming sessions out in the desert, so not many people to annoy. You can have at least 12 people there, so that'll tick that particular box.
And fabulous at this time of year. And yeah. I know also maybe even a bit of drumming in the desert this festive season, even a bit of carol singing maybe, if you
quite
like.
Quite possibly. And it's an all-in package that they actually offer with transport and I think some food and drink as well. And the price per head is £260.
260 dirhams.
So it's pretty reasonable.
But I have an alternative.
Go on.
You can buy a drum set on one of the many reasonable second-hand websites here in the UAE, and it will set you back 725 dirhams. And you could just invite 11 of your mates round, and you can all drum
all
it
the
at the same
drum.
Time.
Nice lateral thinking. I like that.
Excellent.
Still annoy your neighbours.
There
yes.
you go. So 12 drummers drumming and 11 pipers piping.
Yeah. Now, for that one, I went for the Dubai Pipe Band. There are bagpipe players here, so you can hire them. Now, that's not going to be cheap. Again, that's going to annoy the neighbours if you're doing it at home, because they're pretty loud, aren't they, these chaps? Now, the cost of that is 1,000 dirhams. It's going to start, however long you have them for, 1,000 dirhams per piper. 11,000 dirhams.
Per piper?
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively,
go on.
You can fly to Glasgow tomorrow and come back on Saturday, and it will cost you 4,300.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Hear the pipers in the cold.
You can.
Well, I don't know how much it would cost if it was Hogmanay. Maybe a little bit more than that. I'm sure. So you can create your own Hogmanay here in the UAE with the kilts, the tartan, and the 11 pipers piping. How wonderful! What about some leaping? We like that. 10 lords are leaping.
Well, yes. Now, if you're employing, you know, seasoned professionals, world trade dancers, it's going to get quite expensive. But if you're after students and beginners, and bear in mind, it's not just the hour, I've got to build in their transport time and a bit of warm-up time as well. I'm told from a friend of mine who runs a talent agency that you're talking starting at 500 dirhams an hour. So for your coordinated leaping, as I have called it, with the students, 5,000 dirhams.
Or you could not spend anything and just have all your mates around, put the music up and dance like idiots, like we like to during the festive season.
Well, for the next one, the Nine Ladies Dancing.
Oh, yes.
I've completely gone free on that one. You can employ female dancers, or tickets for the ballet at the Opera House, bit on the expensive side, or for free in most cases, go along to a ladies' night. Later in the night, you're bound to have nine ladies dancing.
At least.
Zero.
But, you know, the Dubai Opera is so wonderful. And if you want to get festive, check out what's happening there, because it really does that tradition of going to see a show at Christmas time. And here we are. We have it on our doorstep to create
that.
We do.
It's fantastic. It's the most amazing building, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really
very
lovely.
Beautiful.
Really wonderful. So when we come back, we'll be taking a look at what else we can do to recreate our very own 12 days of Christmas here in the UAE. So how much are you spending on your true love this Christmas time, this festive season? Well, we're exploring the 12 days of Christmas, according to financial advisor Karen Bobka from Holborn Assets. She's put together this list. It's up on her blog post, Financial Planning in the UAE, Financial UAE, and the cost of recreating the 12 days of Christmas here in the Emirates. So we've got up to 8 maids a-milking, Karen.
Yes. Now, there are agricultural workers here. I don't think you can particularly employ them by the hour, but it does say maids. So the obvious thing to go for is to hire some maids from an agency. And that's something like 35 to 40 dirhams an hour, normally with a 4-hour minimum. Though you might want to ask if they maybe grew up on a farm or familiar with animals for this one. That might be helpful. And cows, tricky one, quite large beasts, a lot to put in your garden. So I thought a more local solution to that would be goats, because obviously you can milk goats.
Camels.
There is camels.
Yes.
Pretty large too. Well, I've gone for goats because they're a little cheaper. Camels are quite expensive, particularly if you go for the ones that win the beauty contest as well, aren't you? So depending on the age and the source, apparently you can purchase a goat for anything upwards of 600 dirhams, which I thought was a bit of a bargain, actually.
That'd be great to keep your grass down as well.
I think so. So to hire the maids for the 4 hours, all four of them, and get the 8 goats as well, costs of that, it's just shy of 6,000 dirhams.
Okay, that's, all right.
That doesn't seem bad value,
well,
really.
You might get quite a lot for it,
your garden's,
I suppose,
getting fairly full by now, assuming you have a garden, because if you're in an apartment...
It's very healthy, goat's milk. Very healthy, it's good for you. Goat's cheese.
Makes fantastic cheese, doesn't it?
There you go, we've already got our returns.
Yeah, and they eat all sorts of things as well, so that's pretty good.
Nice for the cheese board.
Yeah,
okay.
I reckon.
Yeah, okay, good. And you might want to, you know, have your Christmas day or your Christmas party catered for, so there you go, there's some help for you at hand. This is an interesting one. 7 swans are swimming.
Yeah, now this song has a lot of birds in it, doesn't it? And I'm not sure who wants to receive loads and loads of birds. So I went a little lateral on this one and thought, let's be Dubai and have ice sculptures.
Oh, yes.
Swan-shaped ice sculptures. How cool would that be at your party? Now, the cost of this is, I thought, pretty reasonable, and I guess it depends on the size. So let's assume that they're not terribly big and they're table size, as opposed to 6-foot swans, again taking up a heck of a lot of space. I'm reckoning that you could probably get those for something like 1,000 dirhams each.
All right.
Which I don't think seems too bad, considering the work and the skill that goes into it. The weather's not as hot, so they'll last a little longer than they would in other times of the year as well.
We hope so, we hope so.
Maybe 7,000 dirhams for those ice sculpture swans.
I've definitely got a face for radio on at the moment, Karen.
No alternatives then?
Well, you know, in the UK, the Queen protects all the swans, and the Crown, you know why the Crown claimed ownerships of swans in the 12th century?
No.
Because the commoners were eating them all, and they were depriving the royal family of a particular banqueting feast,
how
the swan.
How dare the peasants
but
have the swans?
But now it's illegal to eat swans, but she does still own them all in the UK.
Yes. Ah, interesting. If you're wondering, the 12 days of Christmas and all of these things, you know, like the 10 lords are leaping and nine ladies dancing could be any day, any year, any century, I think. But the 12 drummers drumming, the 8 maids are milking, the 7 swans are swimming, is because the 12 days of Christmas dates back to 1558 as a Christmas carol. So there you go. 6 geese are laying, but a goose at Christmas time.
Well, we could eat the goose. That was one thought, but I thought I'd be kind to geese. And we do have quite a lot of them in Dubai at the various sanctuaries. So I've kind of gone for a money-saving option here as well. And take a trip up to somewhere like Al Qudra or the Ras Al Khor Wildlife Reserve, where you'll see plenty of swans. And all you then have to do is point out 6 of them, convince your true love that they're female, so they can be laying, and voila, 6 geese are laying. Cost 0.
And this might be on many a person's wish list this festive season. Maybe a ring, maybe a proposal, who knows? Or maybe you don't need the proposal part, you're just looking forward to that gift from your true love. 5 golden rings.
Well, it's the big sing-along part, isn't it? Everyone sings. Yeah. And we heard Tom earlier sharing his vocal abilities with us.
Yes, indeed. Now, we're no short of gold here in the Emirates.
Well, and I've assumed that we're not going to go crazy mad diamonds here. I've kept this low-key. So 5 simple gold rings, 18 karat gold. I reckon that'll cost you something at current prices, around $550 per ring. So $2,750.
Bargain. Oh, yeah, very good. 4 calling birds. I'd like to hear your take on this one, Karen.
Well, I had to look that one up. What is a calling bird? Is it something that just sings? Now, apparently, it goes back to previous phraseology, and it was a collie bird, and that referred to a black-coloured bird, so probably a blackbird. I'm not a bird type person, so I don't know whether we have blackbirds here actually, but I thought if it's calling, maybe one that sings quite nice. So canaries, quite small, get those in a cage, you can find them here, and apparently they cost something like 150 dirhams a bird. So 4 of those, I haven't counted in the cost of a cage. I'm assuming you'd want them in a cage, not flying around your house. So a bargain, 600 dirhams for little tweeting canaries.
Well, we're getting through the list, and the true love is doing very well indeed here in the UAE. Next on the list is 3 French hens.
Well, you can go to the animal markets and purchase chickens. I'm not sure they're very French chickens. But again, I don't know about you, I don't want my house full of birds. I mean, the song's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Oh, it is. All these birds. It is of a time, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm not sure even then everyone wanted loads of these birds, and I'm fairly sure they were going to eat them, so I thought we should perhaps go to the well-known French supermarket and purchase 3 corn-fed French chickens.
Nice.
Not the cheap bottom-of-the-range ones, although my initial thought on this, however, was to go down to around to your local shawarma joint and get 3 cooked chickens, because you get salad and bread, and there's dinner done, sorted, because you're running around dealing with all these birds and wild stock, aren't you? So I reckon so 3 good quality birds prepped ready for the table, 120 dirhams each.
Very good indeed. 2 turtle doves, love birds indeed.
Yeah, no, I couldn't find anywhere that was sort of selling them. Now, and there are a lot of sand doves here, which are quite similar, and it is, I've suggested that you potentially could go out and catch them. It's possibly illegal, so I'm not really recommending that. You know, I suppose you could have the really cheap option, go, look, there's 2 birds in the garden, I got them to come here, they're for you, love, don't worry about it, that's fine. But what I did find was a very old UAE stamp that goes back quite a lot of years, hand designed, really quite pretty little thing. So you could get 2 of those, frame it up nicely as a gift, and the stamps are really very cheap. They're for a red turtle dove online, and with a delivery I think you can get a pair of those for a mere 80 dirhams.
How lovely. That's really nice indeed. Absolutely. The UAE stamp there. So the red turtle dove. And of course, last there at number 1, everybody singing along, a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah. Now, someone, I'd love to be proved wrong on this, but I can't find anywhere here that sells pear trees. I've tried. I've rung up places. My husband was even at the garden centre the other day, went him a shopping for pear trees, feeling a bit daft. No, there are none for sale. So if you were planning this ahead by quite a few years, I suppose you could plant your own seed and grow one. But, you know, you might be out of love by then and can't be bothered. So, yeah, let's go for a more Dubai approach. And I reckon you should go for a date palm.
Mm.
That is the ultimate Dubai tree, right?
Yes.
Have a date palm. And now they start at something around 750 dirhams. If you're after a really big one, they're a lot pricier. But I believe 750 will get you your basic beginner's date palm.
How wonderful. Ooh. So there you go. You've got the 12.
We've got to have a partridge in it, though, haven't we?
We have.
We are now. Apparently, you can find wild partridges here. Again, I'm sure various people here go out, you know, with binoculars and cameras and have seen them. But again, you're not supposed to catch and keep them, are you? But there is a particular supermarket here where you can pre-order them. Obviously cooked and ready for the table. Bargain, 50 dirhams.
There you go. 12 days of Christmas in the UAE, according to Karen Bobka. What's it going to set your true love back? What's the total?
Well, by my calculation, that is a whopping 33,770 dirhams.
There you go. But, you know, it's true love.
It'd have to be, wouldn't it, at that price?
Now, do check out on Karen's blog post, Financial UAE, for all her articles helping you. There's a bit of fun there at this festive time. But, of course, it's no joke for those people that are feeling the pinch and worrying about money. And, you know, try and take the worry out of it and be sensible, I suppose. And there's all tips on budgeting and helping you there as well. For now, thank you very much to Joe McKibben and to Karen Bobka, financial advisor with Holborn Assets. We wish you a happy cheer at this holiday time.
Thank you, and to you.
I'll be seeing you in 2017.